You probably know Tamar Braxton as a famous singer, as part of the Braxtons, and also as a solo artist.
If you're like me, you might also know her as a talk show host for The Real or as a reality star because she won Celebrity Big Brother.
And now Tamar is bringing fans along the journey to being her best self on her new podcast, Under Construction.
2020 has been a wild ride for Tamar, and she's showing fans a different side of the TV persona that they think they know.
On Under Construction, Tamar is telling her story her way and giving her honest, upfront perspective for the first time since leaving Braxton Family Values.
So listen to Under Construction with Tamar Braxton right now on your favorite podcast app.
You probably already know Portia Williams as a star on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
And we are so excited to let you know that she has a new podcast called Portia for Real.
If you watch the show, you know that everybody loves when her mom Diane and sister Lauren pop up. It's always hilarious and really sweet.
So Portia's bringing them on Portia for Real so that you can get to know the whole Williams family better each week as they chat about love, life, motherhood, and more. I mean, everything's on the table.
You've never heard Portia like this before, and you don't want to miss out.
Check out Portia for Real right now in your favorite podcast app.
Hey, y'all. Before we get started with today's episode, just a heads up that this is a recording of last night's live virtual show where we recapped the series premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. At the end of that recap, we did about 25 to 30 minutes of Q&A from the audience, and that's not in this recording. If that's something that you want to hear or see, or if you just want to see the live show because you missed it, you can still watch it. You can go to onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens, and the video is going to be up through the rest of the weekend. So go check that out. And now here's the show.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens, crappens,
crappens, watch what crappens, watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on ye old Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker of the Game Brain podcast and the Real Housewives of Kitchen Island. And joining me is a man who, if only I could just put him into a big ball of jelly and stick him on top of a cake, I would do it. I would do it. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Yeah, that's how I want to die. Like, I don't want to die in the jelly, but when I'm dead, I want my coffin to be made of jelly, and then Jell-O, and then you look through it, and it's just me, like, smiling back at you through a cloud of Jell-O with little jellyfish swimming around me.
Today is the Great British Baking Show. You know, I said this is a podcast all about Bravo, but it's Bravo and beyond. This is some Netflix stuff, or if you're in England, I mean, this is some Sky One, I don't know, ITV, I don't know what it's on. But the point is this, we are talking Great British Baking Show. We didn't have this recap up last week because we were rescheduling things because of our crazy, crazy podcast life that we live. But we're here now. And this was a pretty funky episode. It's dessert week in the tent. And we saw both like horrific things and magnificent things happening.
I mean, I'm pretty impressed with Jell-O art. I just know Jell-O from Luby's, the cafeteria, where you just go through and you get little cubes of Jell-O. I've never seen Jell-O art like this. I mean, yeah. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I know Jell-O mainly as like the number one way to detect dinosaurs approaching, you know? But this has really took it to a new level.
They sure did. So we start with a big cupcake sketch, where it's just a big cupcake. The props people really went out of their way this week.
Big, yeah.
They're like, let's build a gigantic cupcake.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring down the house.
A big cupcake, and Noel's there, and he's like, he asks something to the cupcake, like, where's Matt? I don't remember what he asked, but it's a big, but the cupcake is like white frosting with like a little cherry on top, but it turns out the cherry is Matt's head.
Yeah. Chubby white guy cupcake. Delicious. Let's keep watching. So now the quarterfinals. It's all about desserts. Bakers hope cheesecakes don't leave them cheesed off. And then they have to elevate jelly to new heights. And an old school sweet and citrus technical.
One, two, three, quarterfinals. Actually, those are the contestants because they do like a little high five, like a very sweet British, like quarterfinals and a thoroughly polite high five, high five. And it's time to head into the tent for the big quarterfinal episode. And we see some of them are talking to us beforehand. And Hermione's like, I didn't think I'd make it to this week. I have a few eggs left in my fridge. I'm thinking I'll come back for those. They won't be good, though, still, will they? Eh?
And Dave's like, my family's super proud of me. We're going to Mexico to celebrate. And Mark is terrified. He looks like he's about to cry this entire episode. It looks like someone's standing there with like a huge paper covered in wax ready to go at his back. Like the guy just has pure terror in his eyes.
He looks like he committed a crime and now there's like nowhere else to run. Like the cops are closing in on him and he's just sort of like, I had to do what I had to do. I had to. I'm sorry. I had to. Like, that's kind of like the energy
before
he's
his guilty monologue at the end of a Perry Mason. Or actually, just like the British show Criminal, which I love. Do you watch that on Netflix?
No, but I love the Fiona Apple song.
It all takes place in the questioning room for a crime. Oh, and they've got the bad really? Guy there. And they just question him. And it's actually a bunch of different countries. It's not just there. But
that's amazing.
It's really good. Like a play, it's a good idea. Right? Yeah. And it goes around from country to country and shows you. Yeah. It's like a play, basically. It's a half. I think it's half an hour. And it's really good. So, yeah, it's right at the end when he's caught. He's finally caught. He's like, I did it. I did it. I did it. And I don't care.
I know how to stack Jell-O. I can do that. I can stack jellies. That's no problem for me. It's what I do. It's what I like to do best. It's like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it all along. So he looks terrified and he's like, it's kind of crazy that he's in the quarterfinal because he started off so poorly. And then we have Peter talk about terrifying. He's like, well, this week is kind of nerve-wracking. Some might even say it's wee nerve-wracking, if you know what I'm saying. I feel like I'm Dizzy the Shuttlecock right now with stars around my head. Oh.
Brinky-dink, shooty-shoot. He starts coming up with all these new sayings this week. And he's got like a certain, I don't want to call him cocky because he's Peter. Like he's so nice. And I would still ask him to babysit my dog. Like he's like the next door neighbor kid, you know, is just not going to like snort your coke while you're out of town, you know?
Yeah.
But he there's something like cocky about him this week. And it got me worried for him. Like there was a confidence about him that I was like, don't be confident. The confidence kills, Peter. Confidence kills.
I thought he had no confidence because he said, well, there's been some practice that hasn't gone so well. I mean, the cakes have turned out wonderfully. It's just that my brother berated me the entire time. Apparently I ate some gluten and really set him off. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry I ate the gluten. I'm sorry. You can have your graduation.
Yeah, he's talking like he's not confident, but he's got this like little glimmer in his eyes. Like, well, this is the week that I'm most unsure about. But he like kind of winks.
It's like deliberate. It's like to make it's like a deliberate deprecation in order to convince us that he's humble when he's
like a little faux humility. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting. But it just worried me for him because I like him. So Noel's like, well, today you're going to make 12 identical mini cheesecakes. And Matt's like, you're disappointingly mini cheesecakes should have a feeling because he hates they're going to be mini and not full.
Yeah. Can I say something? This challenge brought me to a very special place because the very first thing that I learned how to bake were mini cheesecakes when I was a kid. Before that, it's sort of funny because this, when I was thinking about it, it occurred to me the very, very first thing that I learned how to sort of like, not really bake, but assemble, was actually a little ice cream cake. So last week was the very, very first thing, but this is the true proper baking thing. I had this little cookbook when I was a kid called Chocolate Heaven. Some things never change. And it was like all recipes with chocolate is like made for kids, like, you know, a kiddie cookbook. And there was like a recipe for mini chocolate cheesecakes. And the recipe was fantastic. And it's like still my go-to recipe for chocolate cheesecakes. I just don't do minis. I just make one big one now. But so seeing that they'd be making mini cheesecakes took me to a special place. And also meant I was like, I am judging this one extra hard, even though I'm not tasting any of it.
Well, mini cheesecakes are when I fell back in love with Carney Wilson from Wilson Phillips, because of course I liked her because she was the kind of chunky one, and she always sings the low line like, "Give up on your chains." But then I forgot about her as I grew older and realized that Peter Pan was a lie. But then I realized that I loved her again when she started her mini cheesecake company, and someone sent us Carney Wilson mini cheesecakes, and I said, "I'll keep yours, Ben, in my fridge," and then I ate both of our boxes of them in like a day. And it was one of the best binges I've ever had in my life. So thank you, Carney Wilson. Don't give up on your chains.
I am still so mad that I never got to have Carney Wilson's mini chocolate cheesecakes.
You snooze, you lose. They go bad. But also, when they're saying right now, they have to make them from scratch.
You didn't tell me that you had them. It wasn't that
I did. And you were like, "I'll come get the cheesecakes." And then you just never came. Like, what am I supposed to strap them onto my Vespa and get...
I feel like I would have had some urgency. I don't know. This is going to be... I think we need to cast a criminal to get to the bottom of this.
And you don't think of cheesecake going bad, right? But it does. I like was holding them, and I was like, I don't need a fucking Carney Wilson cheesecake. Like, who even needs that? Carney Wilson's stupid. I hate her. Wilson Phillips is dumb, too. Cheesecake's stupid. And I was like, this is probably going to go bad soon. And I had one little taste, and then it was just... It's over. I mean, what can I tell you? I waited till they were on the verge of bad.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like my love of mini cheesecakes would have compelled me to get there immediately, but I also know my capacity for extreme laziness would have prevented me from ever going. So
yeah,
I really don't know which
instinct
would have kicked
in. You were in a very healthy mode at that time. You were like, "Oh, Jim, look at me. Look at my personal trainer," and all that. Okay, so, you didn't say it like that, but okay, so...
Am I Peter all of a sudden? I've got a wee personal trainer. Brother says I'll be in shape in no time.
Sorry I did that to you. So they have to make everything from scratch. Now, the way I know to make cheesecake is using like cream cheese and stuff. So do they mean they don't have to use, they have to make all that stuff themselves? Like, what is from scratch mean with cheesecake?
They said the base has to be made from scratch. Like, they have to like make the base from scratch. Like, not everything is from scratch, basically. They're just reiterating. Like, they can't bring in a store-bought base as if they've ever done that before on this show. But they have to make a base. The point is they have to make a baked filling. And because I guess there's a way you can do cheesecake. Like, you can do a no-bake cheesecake, like if you go camping and stuff. But yeah, they just have to make it, and they have to have a topping. And it's going to be a journey for all of us to go on with the cheesecakes.
Well, we find out something super deep about Laura. She's like, "It's only my mom that doesn't like cheesecakes." And I was like, oh my God, you were raised by monsters. Now I'm on Laura's side. I just want Laura to win everything now.
Well, I mean, she really won me over with her, like, her ugly duckling ice cream cake last week. Like, she spends this episode being like, "I'm still having nightmares about that cake." I'm like, "You're having nightmares. I'm having full-on dreams, like glorious dreams about eating that chocolate, that ice cream cake, Laura. Get a good perspective on it."
And then something else shocking. Peter's like, "I have an aversion to cheese in general." Well, that's not shocking, Peter. Okay? No one is shocked that dairy upsets your tummy.
So, I'll tell you one canapé that's not being served in that household. Cheese and crackers. Not happening.
Well, they can't have crackers for anyone who's concerned. It's a real fun fucking house over there. Okay?
I know. Enjoy your enjoy wine tasting with just grapes. Okay?
So Paul Hollywood's like, "I want the filling to be full of flavor but silky smooth, idiots. The base should have more texture." And Bruce's like, "The top should be very decorative with good flavor." And Prue looks like she just made out with like a glow stick. She's wearing like neon lipstick today.
She's still riding that 80s week high. She's like, "I'm just going to go for it. I am 80 years old after all."
Yeah, 80 years old. She's one sexy hooker, that lady.
She
My
is.
God. Good so Paul's like, "All of them are star bakers, which is the first time this has ever happened. So I'm expecting some sublime bakes."
Yeah. And that they want... that's basically all he says, actually. So then Peter's like, I'm making some ginger and lime cheesecakes. And Pa's like, key lime pie vibes. I mean, that's pretty much what I would have chosen because key lime's my favorite. You know, the first time I had key lime, I was in Japan. And I had the most wonderful key lime pie there because I love key limes and Japan. Those are the things. And also a jigglypuff pastry.
And Noah's like, if you're not in the final, I'll be disappointed. And then Hermine's like, I've never made a biscuit as a base. Who does that? And so she's making, I guess, like a cookie base. And then, of course, Laura's dropping hers all over the place.
Of course. I mean, Laura's,
you know,
just
poor
getting...
Laura, but also poor whoever cleans Laura's kitchen. Because,
yeah,
you know, that's
poor
a damn
gravity
mess in there. Yeah, poor,
poor gravity. Gravity is like, I'm here to make more important things fall. Like, why? Why? Like, why? You? I'm here and you're only using me for crumbs and sponges. Why?
Yeah, but isn't it also amazing that that's gravity now instead of a fucking apple dropping on your head? Newton?
Well, if it were crumbs falling...
Could have been so lucky to have a fucking cheesecake fall on his head. Now that's how to discover gravity right there. Get the fucking
but Laura
apple
just did
here.
Crumbs. Laura just did crumbs, so Newton probably would have thought it was like a bird doing something.
Yeah, don't sit under an apple tree. Sit under Laura, okay? That's how you discover gravity. Cheesecake gravity.
I don't know. I think that Laura defies gravity sometimes. That was a shout out to her loving Broadway. She's defying gravity.
Oh my God! Don't start me. Because I will. I will fly up in my seat right now. Defying gravity. So okay. Laura drops hers, and everyone is going to use passion fruit. Passion fruit is the mango of the week.
Yeah, they love it. Everyone has a passion fruit topping. And Dave is really original. He's making a cheesecake with, like, passion fruit, and it's going to be a lemon cheesecake filling. He goes, I'm calling it citrus cheesecake. Wow, Dave, you really blew our minds with that one. Wait, are you saying you put citrus in your cheesecake, and you're going to call it a citrus cheesecake? That's crazy. That's crazy, but Dave.
Then the editors help him out by making it more interesting, and they write on his little drawing thing, a celebration of citrus. I was like, well, you just upgraded it.
Did they just hire Jim Broadbent to come in and be like, oh, I can fix this up?
David Attenborough.
I know. Judy Dench
is
like,
it's a celebration of citrus, which will be dead soon because of human interaction with the earth.
We are going to celebrate citrus by loading it up with gelatin. Lots and lots of gelatin.
And Prue's like, I've got quite a love of gelatin. It's like, all right, calm down over there, Prue.
And so Dave is going to be using a lot of gelatin to counter the citrus because normally you have to cook down the citrus more when you're dealing with it in these situations. And Paul's like, oh, I'm playing golf later. Maybe I can use one of your cheesecakes. Zizzing.
So they're putting their cheesecake in little molds, and Hermine is like, I want to do anything with jars. I want to use jars. So she's going to serve hers out of jars, which I'm scared for her because isn't part of the thing, like, you have to have it set and look right, you know? Like, a jar seemed like cheating to me. I didn't like that.
I liked the jar idea because I thought it seemed very pretty. But, you know, we came to find out the drawback to a jar. Also, Hermine this episode is like, I don't know, she's like drunk the entire time. She's like, I don't know, I'm going to do this. We'll see what happens. Like, she's just like loopy and like, I think she just thinks she's going home. So she's like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to make this shit and see what happens. And of course she does amazingly.
Yeah, I'm picking her for my winner. Winner chicken dinner. I do too. She's so cute. She's got like such little girl energy. How she's always laughing and stuff. So passion fruit. She's like, it's going to be a battle of the passion fruit. And Paul's like, you know, I really don't like passion fruit. Well, you know what, fucker? Maybe say that at the top of the challenge.
But he was joking, so you're okay. He goes, I don't really like passion fruit. I've sort of gone off it. Then Prue goes, he's lying. Don't worry, Hermine. And they all laugh.
Oh.
I guess, except for Ronnie was sitting there with his hands on his hips like, now that's just wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah, come on, give him some warning, like with the gherkin. Give him some gherkin warning, okay?
No.
So halfway through.
He was just joking,
through.
Ronnie. It's okay. He was just joking.
Thanks.
He likes passion fruit.
Took me off the edge there. So yeah. Noel is doing a wooden spoon bit. He's like, Mr. Spoon has gone missing, but this is his cousin. This one's name is Andre. Where's Andre? Yeah. Has anyone seen Andre?
What happened to Andre? By the way, Noel was cracking me up this episode. I feel like Noel really hit like a, he hit like a new tier. Like I always find him to be like enjoyable, but this time he was actually making me laugh. I think it's because he realized that if he just like preys on Peter, he can really just mine that for a lot of comedy.
Yeah, he's making creepy sexual harassment fun again. Hey guys, yeah, it's great. Come on. It's yeah. Great. It's like preying on Peter and just really committing to his eating disorder. Like, he just keeps mentioning how he's not ever going to eat, which I really like.
So things are going, like, Hermine's making a Bon Marie for her cheesecakes, and things are going in the oven, and Mark is the only baker going citrus-free. He's making a vanilla and mascarpone cheesecake with no passion fruit. And you just see Mark, like, terrified and wanting to cry. I swear, this was the plan all along. I didn't mean to not do citrus.
And Pete's like, rinky-dink, we're good to go. Okay, Pete. And Noel makes up a Broadway song about Mark's cheesecake. Just start singing, and Paul is just stalking everybody. He's just behind them with his like laser blue eyes, just kind of squinting at everybody as they try and bake.
Yeah, and then Peter is like, he's I guess checking on his stuff or whatever, and he's like, there's a pretty fine line between over and under baked with cheesecake. I'm like, yeah, it's called baked. It's like every single pastry on this show, everything is like, there's a fine line between a pita bread and a biscuit. It's like, yes, Peter, this has not impressed me at this point. Everything has a fine line on this show.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
What if there was a place you could discover all of the world's best independent ethical brands? A platform which takes the effort out of finding sustainably produced fashion, jewelry, accessories, homeware, beauty, and gifts without compromising on quality, design, or price. Meet Wolf and Badger. Wolf & Badger delivers limited edition collections from artisans around the globe, items produced in small quantities and made to last, right to your door or to try on in stores in London and New York. Rather than framing products around trends, Wolf & Badger places emphasis on the creators and the stories behind their unique products. Their sustainability guarantees mean that not only will you be one of a handful of people to own each piece, but you'll be shaping the future world that you want to live in. Beyond five-star reviews, they've been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and in Drapers, which just named them the Sustainable Retailer of the Year in 2020. Support small business and find a new way to shop. Visit wolfandbadger.com today and save 10% off your first order. Just use code STITCHER at checkout. That's STITCHER at checkout. Discover unforgettable gifts and find your new favorite designers, all at Wolf and Badger.
And Laura's, of course, is not setting, which is terrifying. 5 minutes! And Matt is obsessing over Mr. Spoon because they've put Mr. Spoon in his chair. And he's like, ask Mr. Spoon to get out of my chair. I just don't trust him.
I was really into Andre. I liked his presence. I was actually sort of sad that I felt like he kind of disappeared pretty quickly after
this. You just respect him because he's thin.
I do. I have to respect someone so thin in a pastry competition.
So Peter's having trouble with his curd. It's unusable. And then Noel and Matt just come behind. It's like they smell someone failing, and they just come behind him and start taunting him with Mr. Spoon jokes.
Yeah, and he's like turning all red. And yeah, I wrote that. I said, Noel and Matt taunting Peter with Mr. Spoon. And then they're like, Mr. Spoon wants to kiss Peter.
Mr. Spoon wants to see Peter naked.
And they're like, this is why people don't like Mr. Spoon.
No. And poor Peter is like so red in the face.
I love that Mr. Spoon is like a real pervy, like older spoon twink looking for a young twink.
Yeah. So 1 minute to go, and Peter's dip in the middle, like they kind of deflate in the middle, and then he just tops it with a bunch of dried fruit. Or is that Turkish delight that he topped it with? I just don't know anymore. It might have been.
It looked like cornflakes, but then I realized it was probably some sort of like, you know, crystallized ginger or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So, and Laura's, poor Laura. I mean, hers looked like crab cakes with hollandaise sauce on them. I was like, are these cheesecakes? This does not look right.
Oh, and Peter's just so mad over there. Like, his confidence is now flagging. So, yeah. Judging time, Peter is terrified in the corner. Exhausted.
Yeah, Peter's brother's in the corner, just taking his thumb and doing, like, that slit gesture across his throat. Like, you fucked up.
Gluten and dairy in one dessert. You'll pay for this, brother. Now it's time for the bakers to face scrutiny and sexual harassment. Dave, let's start with you. So, celebration of citrus! And Paul's like, very neat, very good. And Peter's like, oh, they cut very neatly, and I'm going to prove it by making this sound as I cut them. Jesus, what are you chopping down a tree? Calm down, it's a cheesecake. Be delicate, please.
They really... chopping down. Be nice to the cheesecake. So they actually really love it. The gamble with the gelatin worked out. It was everything cut neatly. It was neat. It was clean. They looked really great. And I was just surprised that Dave wasn't like, well, these cheesecakes are a tribute to tacos. You see, they're yellow like a corn tortilla from Mexico, which I love. I love Mexico. I'm waiting for taco cheesecakes.
Then Hermine's passion fruit cheesecake in little jars, and Prue's like, they look really pretty. Paul's like, a bit stodgy, I'd say. I'd love to say dry. Unfortunately, I can't right now, but it's in my back pocket. Everyone notice, dry is in my back pocket. All right, Hermine, carry on.
You're either going to be dry or you're going to be stodgy. Which one do you want to be today?
That's my Tinder profile. Dry and stodgy.
And Prue is, you know that Prue, like, she's like, well, it's not as silky as I wanted, which is a bummer because you know that she saw those jars and wanted to say, very clever, very witty, very clever. Oh, no, not silky. Cleverness revoked. Not clever at all.
If only you could jar silky. Am I right, I mean? And Paul's like, there's no way the base could be solid in that is the problem, because there's not enough lime in here the way that it's done, blah, blah, blah.
And I need, like, the lime, I'm obsessed with lime.
Yeah, he's on a lime kick now for some reason. One person was going to make a key lime flavor, and now he's fucking obsessed with it.
Yeah. So then we go over to Mark's New York-style cheesecakes that look like frittatas. I mean, they're just like these, like, wide, flat discs. Like, yeah. What are these?
I think he confused, like, New York-style pizza with the cheesecake because they were, like, big old pizzas. And Paul's like, they look bad. Like, okay, you're just out of
things at this point. They're not canapé size. They're not canapé size. Now, Mark, you do know that cheesecake is not just a sponge with cheddar cheese on top, right? You know there's a different sort of thing here.
And you don't get apricot at all until you hit the apricot, and then you're feeling, oh, I've hit an apricot. I'm a horrible person. I wish this was silkier.
Let me ask you something. Is it bad that after I hit that apricot, I drove away? No?
It needs to be smaller and neater. The apricot should be everywhere. I just hit it. It should be splattered all over the road.
Do me all over with an apricot. That's what I want to feel. That's what I want to say when I eat this. But instead, I'm just eating basically a tortilla. A tortilla! Quiet, Dave. Quiet.
So then Peter goes over to his little favorite Peter. I mean, Paul goes over to his little favorite Peter. And he's like, doesn't even look like a cheesecake. The mixture must be delicate. And then he just, like, turns one over and dumps all the toppings off. It's like, ouch, yeah. That's cold.
Didn't he say they turned into cauldrons? Was it this one? I forget.
They look like little cauldrons, yeah. And it was just holding a bunch of, like, trail mix or some shit on top.
Yeah, I forgot. Like, they looked like a whole other type of pastry. I forget what it's called, where it has sort of like a little dip in the middle that's intentional. This is... they did not look like appetizing cheesecakes, that's for sure. And Peter's face was just like, I'm going to be put in the cage tonight, aren't I?
He looks so scared. And Prue's like, well, the flavor is lovely, but the shape is wrong. And Noel just passes by him and goes, apologize to these people.
I love that. That cracked me up. Because you know what Peter was like?
Dear Mrs. Prune, dear Mr. Paul, I am sorry. I'm very, very sorry.
They're like, you know, that was a joke, Peter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then Laura's passion fruit thingy has vanilla with oat and honey base, passion fruit curd, and a mango compote on top. And Prue's like, it's a bit of a mess.
Sort of looks like mashed potatoes, but tastes like cheesecake. It's a little difficult for me, but...
Paul's like, the flavor's fantastic. Texture's there, flavor's there.
There's absolutely nothing the matter with this, except the look. Not clever.
And Laura's like, I feel great after that. I was expecting to get rinsed, mate. And so Dave's like, box ticked, nailed it. It's like, oh my God. Prue, pretend he's an apricot and hit him.
Or as they say in Mexico, boxito ticked.
And Peter's all sad and red-eyed. Yeah. He looks like he's going to start sobbing.
And they keep like, cutting to
Go ahead.
I was going to say, they keep cutting to like a judgy butterfly. Like every time someone talks, they just cut to this butterfly that's in the flower. That's like, well, you should have done better.
It's like an old butterfly, right? It's like old man butterfly. He's like all covered in gray hair. Like you can see the gray hair. He's like, loser.
Yeah, it's like I felt very judged by that butterfly. Like, well, maybe next time you should have, instead of made a cheesecake, you should have done something more productive for your family. Like I'm doing right now in this flower.
Yeah, his wings are like coming open really slowly. Like,
You can say what you want to say. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The next challenge is a mystery wrapped in enigmatic gingham, set by lovely Prue. She's like, you're all excellent bakers. You'll be given no extra ingredients, so get it right the first time, apricots.
Clever.
So we're going back to the 1700s. The bakers must make two Sussex Pond puddings, which is really a delightful... Like I think everyone wants their pastry to be named after a pond. So they have to make suet pastry, and it has to be steamed until it's golden, and then the filling has to ooze out, which will create a lemony, syrupy pond, hence the Sussex Pond pudding. And then there'll be a creme anglaise.
And it has to be steamed with the whole lemon inside...
If it's too floppy, it will tear. Squidge. Steam it for as long as you've got.
And then they just cut to Hermine's face, and she's like...
She's like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, so she looks grossed out.
Paul has like a full-on erection over this Sussex Pond pudding. He's like, I have to say, it's amazing. I mean, this is... The bakers, I'm excited to see what they come up with, because this is amazing. I mean, this is... It's almost as good as key lime. But of course, it's lemon, so unfortunately, they do lose some points there. But it's great. It's like, okay, Paul, put down the Sussex Pond pudding, Paul.
So they've all got suet as an ingredient, and it looks like cheese. And Peter's like, it's the lovely protective fat that surrounds the liver and kidneys. It's like, God, what the hell did your family feed you?
It's Dizzy the Shuttlecock's favorite snack.
He loves an awful, like, innard.
He's just like, Peter, will you be playing football today with the other boys?
No, Mum. There's a sale on suet at the market.
So Hermine's like, who's going to eat this in 2020? Come on. Like, what the fuck? Why are we making this?
Who does this? And cuts to Peter saying, I've made suet dumplings quite a few times.
But they don't, you know, of course these instructions are tricky because it doesn't say how much milk. And Hermine's like, I'm having a suet breakdown.
Yeah, she is. She's like, a suet breakdown. So they're all trying to figure out this dough because it's a fatty dough. And it's like, does it rest? Does it not rest? Like, you know, how long do you need it, etc.
And Dave goes, I've interpreted it as lime and flour. I was like, oh, some lime? What a shocker, Dave. What a shocker.
It's a celebration of citrus, green citrus.
So let's see. Matt does like a pa, pa, pa.
He has a whole bit about, like, pond pudding. Pond pudding. It goes on for a while.
Are you panicked about your pond pudding?
Yeah. And then they're just sort of, like, doing their filling and everything. And Peter's like, this is actually the most unhealthy dessert ever. I mean, it's fatty suet pastry and a filling of butter and sugar. I'm like, what? Have you seen everything else you guys have made? It's like, this is the one that's unhealthy?
Yeah. And Noel's like, well, it's very heavy in a medieval way, Laura. She's like, well, you prick the lemons and put them in the bowl. And Mark's like, Laura pricks, Laura pricks. And Prue's just back there like, if I had a nickel.
If I could put lemon in a bottle. So now they're all just like, they're just making these pastries, these crazy pastries where they put the whole lemon inside and they're crimping it. And Laura's like, Laura doesn't know what to do. She's flummoxed. She's like, is there a pizza oven in here? Can we just put this all in the pizza oven and just call it a day, mate? Can we? No?
Yeah, and they're like, do we pleat? Do we pleat? Do we not pleat? Do we crimp? Do we not crimp? And Noel's like, oh, they're just all words, aren't they? All right, just go, Prue. Not worth the calories.
Yeah. And so then they have to cut circles out of paper and foil. And people are getting hung up on this because then it says fold a pleat into the center. So it's like, what sort of pleat and what do you do? And then on top of that, once you do decide on how you're going to deal with those circles, you then have to tie them onto the bowl. And Dave, this is hilarious because Dave pretty much gets undone by a piece of string. He cannot tie his circles onto the bowl. He's like, it just keeps coming off. It just keeps sliding off. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I mean, what's the point? What's the point of even doing this?
Yeah, because they have to do it to use as a little handle to pull out of the steamer. And Laura's like, fuck that. I'm just going to use some foil.
Yeah, but Dave actually focuses so much on getting the string right that he actually winds up way behind everyone else.
Yeah.
He's just still tying his little twine.
Yeah. So how long do we steam for? Nobody knows. So they're all guessing. And Mark is like, it should be ready in an hour. And Pete's like, an hour 50 at least. So who knows how this is going to turn out. So then they have to make their creme anglaise.
Yeah. And they're all making their creme anglaise, but Dave hasn't even started his steaming because he's still working on his knot. It's like, Dave, this should be the easy part.
And Dave's is the last to go in and the first to come out, which is
And then
scary.
He does that too. Like, what is he thinking? What is he thinking?
And so he tries turning his out, and one seems like it's going to work, but one breaks right away, and now they're both broken.
They're both broken and sad. It's just, it looked like someone came with a sword and just, like, poked the pastry in the stomach, and the pastry's like, I'm dead. Enough.
I think there was only one that didn't break, right? I think Peter's the only one that had one that didn't break, or was he?
I think Mark had one that didn't break. I mean, this was probably one of the worst technicals, probably the worst one since they did a Stroopwafel challenge a season or two ago, because the Stroopwafel challenge, they just all like had colossal failures.
Yeah.
This one was pretty terrible.
So they come in, it's the blind test, and Laura's first up, and Paul's like, leaking already. Prue's like, that was rude. I meant the suet. The pastry, darling. And she's like, well, the pastry would be better longer in the steamer.
And then they go to Dave's, and Paul's like, these pasties, as you know, he's sort of shading it. He's like, oh, these are just stupid pasties. Okay, let everyone, I'm gonna say my favorite thing. That's raw.
And then Hermine's needed to be cooked longer too, but Prue likes the shape of it. And the lemon is bullet hard. And it really is just a full-ass lemon in there.
It's a full lemon that just needs to get soft and wonderful. I mean, I'm like really intrigued. I really would like to try this pastry.
You have to find suet.
Yeah, so that's why it begins and ends there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I want someone to make it for me. I don't want to make it. I don't want to be the one that makes it because this is just already a disaster.
Yeah, this is definitely something to order from somebody who knows what they're doing. Right?
Someone from 1700.
Yeah, and then Peter, his are collapsed, and Prue's like, raw, in another hour that pastry would be flaky. Such a shame.
Just one more hour, if only they had one more hour. So then Mark is next, and he's got one is whole, the other one is a disaster. And basically, I think it was Prue who explains that, like, because so many of them understeamed, it just meant that the lemon didn't cook, and if the lemon didn't cook, then the juices don't come out of the lemon, and then when the juices don't come out, then the sauce is just sugar and butter.
Yeah.
Which sounds great to me, honestly.
Yeah, so from last to worst, it's Dave, Peter, Hermine, Mark, Paul, And then Laura wins, but Prue's like, well, I wish I could say it was wonderful, but it wasn't much better than the rest, Laura.
Yeah, it was a wash. Yeah. So Laura's like, well, I'm still happy because I still technically came in first place. And then it cuts to the butterfly again, like, oh, you know what? You need to calm down, young lady.
And then a cheesecake falls on her head. So that now,
and then an ice cream cake.
Yeah. That's like, everyone failed. The judges are talking. And Prue's like, yes, my favorite pudding is Sussex Pond, and they made a complete mess of it. But it does occur to me that I'm 80 years old. And maybe this wasn't the best thing to give them.
Yeah. And Paul's like, well, I'm 40, and I still love them quite a bit, too. And they all laugh. And then they're saying that Peter is at the bottom, which is something that they haven't seen much of before. And he's in danger of going home, which is pretty surprising. So he has to pull it out. He's on the bottom, has to pull it out in order to...
You're getting to be like Noel right now. You sound like you're just harassing him.
I'm just saying words. I'm just
he's
saying
gotta
words.
He's got to pull it out and be a good bottom. Yeah. Hope he has a pillow to bite through this next challenge. Yeah.
The judgy butterfly is saying, this is crude. This is crude.
So next, the big showstopper piece. Today, the judges would like you each to make a jelly art design cake. At least one element should incorporate a sponge. One should incorporate jello. One should incorporate mousse. One should incorporate animal guts from something. One should be pond water. And one should be drunk. Like, Jesus, calm down, okay? You lost me after jello.
Yeah.
Too many things.
It's a lot. So, they have 4 hours to do this, and Paul's really looking forward to this challenge because it's like when you're a kid again. But the issue is that if you put in too much gelatin, the gel is going to be like rubber. And obviously if it's, he goes, if you put in too much gelatin, it's going to be like rubber. And then it cuts to Mark going, 35 leaves of gelatin going in right now.
Delicious. 35 leaves of pig hide.
But if they put in not enough gelatin, it's just going to be like water. And then it cuts to Peter and he goes, well, in my last practice, I had a bit of a collapse. Needless to say, Dizzy the Shuttlecock wasn't the only one who was feeling a little bit befuddled this week.
So then the judges go look at Mark, is checking on him, and he's making a two-layer jelly cake, which is crazy. I don't like that they call it jello. I need it to be called jello. Okay? Jelly,
well, you know what?
On bread. Okay? Change your culture to match my preconceived notions, okay?
I feel like jelly is like the... is like the sub overarching term. Like if gelatin is the top one, I feel like jelly, like if you say a jelly, that is like a genre. But if you say jelly without the A, like here's some jelly, then I'm thinking it's a bread topping. Isn't it unless funny how jelly can work that way?
I guess, because Jell-O is a brand, right? It's not like an actual thing. Okay, so Paul's like, well, very interesting. Two layers, Mark. I'm just fascinated. And she's like, you're doing so much! And he's doing apple jelly with chocolate and strawberry mousse. That's a lot.
Sounds like those flavors will really mix well together, you know? Like, what? Apple and strawberry and chocolate?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Also, like, you know what's a great idea? You stacking a wobbly thing on something else that's really wobbly. That sounds great. That sounds like that'll work out well.
I know. It's like me dating. So Mark's like, not a lot. And Paul's like, you better smash this one. And Noel goes, did that help you, Mark?
By the way, Paul is playing mind games because right before this, he goes, well, I hope that, you know, they're getting so close to the finals. And I hope that that doesn't get into their heads, because we want 5 extraordinary bakes, and I hope being so close, being this close, knowing that you've come this far, and one tiny mistake could ruin it all. I just hope that doesn't get into their heads. I just hope it doesn't. I'm like, Paul, please stop talking.
I know.
Peter is peeing in his pants right now.
Yeah, and he really is. He's making an orange and cranberry flavored jelly. And they're all using some kind of artificial flavor, because you kind of have to, I guess. And Mark's like, oh, it tastes like smelly feet. And Matt's like, how many smelly feet have you eaten? And Mark just stays quiet and looks at him like, what the hell?
Mark's like, are you really saying making that joke to me right now? So then Laura, she's making a flower power koi jelly art cake with fish and aquatic plants. And she's going to be using some agar that she brought in from Australia. And Prue's like, but will it be clear enough? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And they're like, and that grasshopper, is that part of it as well? And there's like a little grasshopper on the stock pot. Like, truly the worst place for a grasshopper, if you ask me. Like a giant hot kitchen with lots of things that could burn it to death. But hey, live your life, grasshopper.
Also, I have to say, what a pretty grasshopper.
Beautiful.
I mean, it was so nice and green. Like, the grasshoppers where I live look, like, all faded and, like, hard. Mm. They're like, eah! And that grasshopper looked like a Disney grasshopper.
Well, it may have been a katydid, you know? Those katydids are real green, you know?
I was gel. I was like, I need better grasshoppers.
The grasshopper was like, I've been sent by the butterfly who wants you all to know you're all terrible. Goodbye.
So we go over to Dave, and he's painting his in layers. He's like made little jelly paints, and he's doing an aquatic theme. Yeah. New gay beach scene.
Yeah. I think actually technically it was pronounced new key beach scene. Whatever.
New gay. I say new gay.
New gay. Yeah. He's new a gay.
New gay. The new gay. Welcome our new gay, everybody.
It's a new gay. It's a new one. It's a so. And he's making a clotted cream mousse.
So. Yeah, an apple and guava riding a wave of fudge cake.
Everything just sounds vaguely sexual. So, yeah. So they're talking. So he's talking about surfing with Noel, and Noel's like, "Well, they make it look easy on Point Break." And Dave goes, "What a great film."
Will you be Keanu? I'll be Swayze. And he's like, oh, I have a dog named after Swayze. We pronounce it Swayze, like they do in Mexico, but still, it's a dog pronounced Swayze. It's like, wow, good for you, Dave. The unfortunate thing at the end of these shows is that I'm stuck with you, Dave. So.
Noel's like, oh, I'm just going to go over there and talk to a spoon again. It's a little bit more interesting than this conversation, Dave.
The spoon makes a better Keanu than you do, Dave. Right?
That was really funny, Ronnie.
We just paused at the same time. We were both just looking around at the same time. I'm like, Ben will talk. I'm going to look around right now.
No, because I got a text message that distracted me. But then when the distraction faded, it was like that 1 second of distraction. And then I realized that you made a really funny Keanu Reeves joke about the
spoon. You're a liar. I was looking out the window for better crickets. I'm obsessed now. I'm like, I hate my crickets. Or my grasshoppers.
You have grasshopper. Yeah, grasshopper and periyar.
I'm like hunting a decent grasshopper to compete.
Better grasshoppers. Makes me actually want to have a grasshopper cake. Which is basically an ice cream cake, right? Isn't that mint ice cream?
Yeah. It's mint chocolate chip, right?
I want an ice cream cake.
Here we go. Mark is making a base of meringue, and Hermine is adding cherry liqueur drizzle to her sponge, which could be dangerous. And her design is beautiful. It's chocolate and raspberry mousse with a big jelly dome with a huge poppy flower inside. I wish we got more close-ups on how they're actually making these.
I agree. I felt like that was sorely missing because we sort of... A lot of it looked like, you know, generic scenes from The Real Housewives, right? It looked like it could have been Botox that was happening. We saw things going into like lots of sort of like wobbly masses, but we didn't really get to see how it worked. And I would have liked to have seen like the flower petals come to life.
Yeah, that was really cool because it turned out really neat. So Paul's like, when we put a knife through it, will it hold? And she's like, I practice secretly and never put one on top of the other. And he's like, have you injected jelly before? And she's like, well, it's tricky. And he's like, good luck.
I also like there was a moment, I think maybe right before this, where they're talking about the sponges that everyone's making, and Laura's making a Genoise sponge, and she's like, well, it's pronounced Genoise, but you know where I'm from, and we say Genoese, and then it cuts to Hermine, and she goes, does it annoy me when people say Genoese? Well, if you're going to speak the language, you've got to make the effort, and that's all I'm going to say. I was like, ooh, I love that. Hermine finally being shady.
Well, Laura's showstopper is finally taking shape, and she's making her little fish, which are supposed to be koi, which I guess they look like little koi, but it's like kind of cow, or yeah,
cowfish, kind of cow, which or I like would a love whale as a fish. Yeah. I think someone should make cowfish.
Mark is making his strawberry mousse, and then it's a battle of the mousses because Peter's doing an orange and cranberry mousse, and he's actually cooking his juices down. Ooh.
Yeah. And Dave is going, clotted cream going in, as if anyone cares. And then I'm so mean to Dave. I'm so mean. I'm like, as if anyone cares about your clotted cream going into your mousse, Dave. I mean.
Why is Peter obsessed with Christmas? What the fuck is up? What happened to Peter? Was this the time that his brother just finally fucking lost it over a glutinous cookie and threatened to murder Peter in his sleep if he ever tasted gluten again? Because Peter is obsessed with making Christmas okay again. Like every week now, it's like, and now it's a snow globe jelly cake. Christmas.
We're making this snow globe jelly cake because it's going to be part of Dizzy the Shuttlecock's Christmas Spectacular.
It was never gluten. It was snow the entire time, brother.
Every time you have a snow globe cake, an angel becomes gluten tolerant.
So they're asking him, how long did it take to set in practice? And he's like, didn't time it. And Paul's like, well, that's useful, isn't it? And he's like, righty-o, rinky-dinky.
So there now is 1 hour left, and they're doing things like.
Dave goes, I need a bigger prick. I need Noel's to make like, a gif of that for you.
These things just write themselves. Peter's like, no, I'm going to do the weirdest thing in the entire world. I'm using a cookie cutter on panna cottas. Ooh, brother, are you impressed yet?
And then Laura is taking hers out, and I'm like, please don't drop it. Please don't. Drops it.
Drops it.
She drops like part Laura. Of the cake or something.
Classic Laura. Just nothing. She just is like, at this point, she just exists to give us all heart attacks. She's like, yeah. All right, mate, I got to take out five sponges, so I'm going to balance them, but not directly on top of each other. I can put one on the edge of the other, on the edge of the other. So it makes a little staircase, sort of a fun experience to go from the fridge to the counter with the little staircase of sponges. Nothing could go wrong. I'm like, Laura, stop it, please. I can't.
I know. And this show really gets to you because I was terrified watching the jelly release. Like, everybody letting the jelly out of their bowls. I was like, no. Please let it work out okay. Please.
I just said, oh my God, this is terrifying. The jelly release was horrific. And they also, you know, they always set you up to get you all nervous. They say, because they have to dip the bowls in a warm water bath to loosen it up, and they're like, too briefly, and the jelly will rip too long, and they risk melting it. I was like, please don't add more stakes to the jelly. It's too hard. It's too scary.
Yeah. 1 minute left. And Hermine's just making all these crazy faces. And Laura's looks great, actually. It came out great. And Mark gets his double tear together, but it does look a little leany, a little wobbly there.
It looks like a video game where it looks like Burger Up or whatever that video game was, where you're like a little chef who has like a platter and things fall from the sky and you got to catch them and they stack up on your platter. That's kind of what his cake looked like. Just random shit just fell on the platter and it was topped by two pieces of Jell-O.
Yeah. And so now it's time for the judges. So first is Laura's pink koi cake, and it looks really, really pretty.
It's really cool. The pansy looked, there was like a big pansy in it, or maybe it was like a lily pad. It looked a little murky. It looked like there may have been an incident in the pond, like right before we got to the pond, but it still looked really beautiful. And Paul goes, well, it really reminds you of a pond, which may be one of the few times that could be used in a positive way with a dessert.
Yeah, but Prue loves her pond, you know, so she's like, oh, pond, and he's like, well, I would like to see a surrounding something or other. Oh, yeah. A surrounding shell, like, I frosting. Guess, on the cake.
Yeah. The cake was like jagged, not jagged, it was just unfrosted.
Yeah.
But they love it. They really, really love it. And then we go to Dave's, which actually looked amazing. It was a really cool,
new he did day. Like layers.
I dedicate this to Patrick Swayze. Great film, Point Break. Great film. But the color palette was like really vibrant and lovely. And the way he did it was he had layers of the jelly. And so the sort of sunrise or sunset that he did was kind of also 3D. It was really cool.
Paul's like, masterpiece. Your jelly is fantastic. The downfall is the bit underneath. Too stodgy, the mousse.
I'm getting no chocolate from the sponge. I mean, at least you could put some lime in there, for crying out loud.
And Prue's like, I wouldn't be so harsh. My quarrel is with the mousse. But quite a feat. And Dave's like, cheers. So then Peter Snow Globe Jelly Christmas memory or whatever. The memory I'm trying to redo over and over like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. It's too pale. Needs more vibrancy to it. I mean, it looks like your face, for crying out loud. I mean, if I stare at this cake long enough, will it turn red? Will it?
Oh, it's a bit pastel. And Paul's like, and it's not the easiest to cut. It's a mess. And Paul's like, and I question whether the mousse is set yet. And poor Peter looks like he's just going to start bleeding tears. Like he looks like he's just going to start crying blood. His eyes are so red.
His brother's already got the granola bars like in his hand to throw at his head. Like, you made an unset mousse, you stupid little boy.
Poor guy. So then Mark has his chocolate and strawberry mousse thingy, tower. Disaster.
The mousse curdled, it's not set, it's stodgy, it's dry, it's everything, every bad word. It's not clever, it's stupid, it's fat. I hate it.
Yeah. And then they're laughing while they're cutting the jelly cake. I was like, this poor Mark. And he looks like he's about to cry too. And Prue's like, is that mousse or a mousse? Confused by what you're going for here. Paul's like, it's a ganache. Basically, it's Noel in a Speedo. Rubbery, overbaked. Besides that, brilliant.
Yeah, and you know it's bad because Prue just resorts to sympathetic utterings of, oh dear. Oh my.
So then we get Armin, who looks like the Beauty and the Beast flower that's in the jar. It's so pretty.
Somewhere Brittany on Vanderpump Rules is like, hey, that's my wedding there on a cake.
Will you make my wedding jello cake?
Hey JX, next time we have our wedding vow renewal, can we have jello cakes?
Beautiful, straight out of a Parisian patisserie. I'll tell you what, I'm a star gardener. That is a Japanese poppy, a star Japanese poppy from my star garden. So calm down, Prue, jeez.
Paul's like, it's absolutely gorgeous. The raspberry, the chocolate mousse, supposed to get perfectly together. And like, pretty much it's like a perfect cake. And I'm like, so, Paul...
Handshake. Where's the handshake?
Handshake.
This also, is like I thought he was going to give it to Laura because Laura, he was like perfect, wonderful, amazing, remarkable, extraordinary.
She didn't do the sides. She didn't do the sides. I thought so too. Then I remember she didn't do the sides.
Oh. Yeah, she didn't get the handshake. But Hermine doesn't care. She's psyched, you know? And yeah. Peter looks like he's going to have a nervous breakdown. And then instead of the butterfly or the grasshopper, we get a plane. It's a weird departure.
But yeah, I was like, why are we focusing on a plane? Like, there's a full-on butterfly over there with a little pipe in its mouth, ready to give us a witticism, and we're focusing on a plane?
Yeah. And so the judges go talk, and they're all really impressed with everybody, really. But mostly Hermine, amazing, reminded me of looking through a window in Paris from Japan, which is just how clear my view from Japan was.
Luckily, I have these piercing blue eyes that let me see all the way across the world from Japan. So Prue liked Laura's, despite being very untidy, and... also, Dave's was like two cakes. They actually thought Dave's had the best jelly, but the cake, obviously, clotted cream mousse, was a disaster.
Yeah. And the technical was pretty bad for all of them. Then the signature was fine. Mini cheesecakes. So the showstopper needs to be looked at more carefully. I mean, 4.5 hours. You can't just brush that off, can you? Yeah. So it's like, Noah's like, it was off the hook.
I like that there was even a semblance of like that they even tried to make the suspenseful. Like, obviously Peter did not do great, but Mark's was so horrific. And on top of that, he had to put a cardboard circle in there so they couldn't even cut all the way through because it was so unstable. So we get now to like the announcements. It's like the star baker is Hermine, which is great. And poor Noel. Noel looked like he was already ready to cry for Mark. He was like, this is the star baker is Hermine. He's like crying during the happy part. And yeah. Then they have to give it to Matt to give the bad news.
Yeah, and Mark's out of there. And he's like, well, through this process, I faced anxiety. I faced failure. I learned a bit about myself. And maybe I should give myself more credit. I was like, that's so nice. Now go.
That's nice.
Go.
Like, give your daughters credit, too. Yeah, they basically are like, Mark started out so badly. Like, truly terribly. Like, what is this person doing in here? Did someone just take an Uber driver and put him in the tent and see how he'd fare? I mean, he was really just like an embarrassment to the entire television show. But look how far he's come. Wonderful. Wonderful journey.
And now back to a life of letting his children watch him cook while not actually being able to touch anything in the kitchen. Oh, yeah. Mark.
So that's basically it. And so we have semifinals coming up next. Should be exciting. I think in the finals it's going to be Hermine, Dave, and Peter. I think Laura, her flavors are really good, but she is kind of a disaster. And I think you can only get so far before that catches up to you.
Yeah. Well, time will tell, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back here in your ears, okay?
That's right. Yeah.
Thanks for being with us.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.